So before we start learning tonight, the shir is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmoso Shel Isha Achashuvo Bas Sheva Lea Basra Pesach. It's the mother of our dear friend Rabbi Yonasan Friedman, who is a steady participant in this shir, mother-in-law of Mr. Shtemer, sitting right next to Mr. Friedman. And tonight is the Yortzeit. Shetanuach b'sholom ha'mishkovesh, he should be a malitzas Yosef with the entire family. And you should all know Nachas and Simcha Kol Hayomim. So the Torah we learned tonight is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmoso Shel Bas Sheva Lea Bas Arav Rav Pesach. So this week we read Parshas Lech Lecha, and the story of the Jews begins. Parshas Bereishis is about Adam HaRishon, and then we skip Asorah Doiris. Asorah Doiris Me'Adam Ad Noach, and we skip another Asorah Doiris. Asorah Doiris Me'Noach Ad Avraham, and this week's Parshas Lech Lecha, the story of the Jews begins. Because Avraham Avinu was the very first Yid, and Bris Ben Avesorim, and the very first of Avoseinu HaGedoshim. And today we will be discussing very interesting sugya, a very relevant sugya, which probably will especially resonate with the people participating in this shir, because this is a shir of Chusnikim. And the fact that the shir is in English proves that, beyond doubt. So most of you at some stage in your lives did Aliyah. Maybe some of you present here plan to do Aliyah. So the very first posik in this week's parasha, V'yoyimer Hashem al Avram, Lech lechu mi'artzecho, u'memeladetecho, u'mebeisavicho, la'oretz asher areko. And this is a fascinating medrash. In Medrash Rabbah, also brought in Yalkut Shemoini, Avram Avinu, when told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pack up and leave, El Oretz Asher Areko, Avraham Avinu says, this might be a Chilal Hashem. What would people say? He left his old father without anybody to care for him, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Lech lecho, lecho ani oimer lech, aval la'acherem loy. And this is a very interesting medrash. And the medrash indicates that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham, you have a powerful argument, but nevertheless, I tell you, go. I would not tell this to others. So, the Chai Odom. We're all familiar with the two major svarim that the Chai Odom composed, even though he wrote various different svarim. That's the Chai Odom and the Chochmas Odom. Chai Odom and Ishmas Odom, Shulchan Aruch HaChaim. Chochmas Odom bin HaSodom is Shulchan Aruch HaDeya. And there's a section in Chochmas Sodom, which is called Mishpatei Eretz, and that is about Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'oretz. Mishpatei Eretz, Chochmas Sodom, Perek Yud Aleph, Sif Hei. The Chai Odom, Chochmas Sodom, Mishpatei Eretz brings Tshuvos HaTashbetz. An interesting Tshuvos HaTashbetz, Chelek Gimel Siman Reish Peiches, when a father demanded from a child living in Eretz Yisrael, I need you, I want you to come to live next to me in Chutz Laaretz. And the Tashbetz writes, also let's say Smeetz Yisrael, Chutz Laaretz, Elo, Bishvil, Talmud Torah, Nesias Yishu, V'kibud Av V'em. And that is very strange, because Chazal explicitly say that also let's say Smeetz Yisrael, Chutz Laaretz, and the only reason we are entitled to leave Eretz Yisrael, go to Chutz Laaretz, is for Lisu Ishu and Talmud Torah. Nowhere in Chazal do we find Kibbud Av V'Em. And this seems to be an addition that the Tashbetz added on Midas Atzmoy. But the Loshon of the Tashbetz seems to indicate three things. Talmud Torah, Lisu Ishu, Kibbud Av V'Em. And the Chai Odom wonders, where did the Tashbetz pick this up? And then he writes, Metzosiloi Raya Gemura from the Medrash, Parshas Lech Lecha. And he quotes this Medrash. And the Medrash says that Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha, Lecha Ani Oimer, Aval Achirem Loi. So others would not need to leave their father to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Chai Odom says, this Medrash might be the source of the Tashbetz. Ponim Yofes in this week's Parsha. And once again in Sefer HaMakleh in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph, it's the same Mechaber, probably you know. So the Haflor wrote three magnificent svarim: Haflor on Ksubis, Hamakla on Kiddushin, and Ponim Yofes al HaTorah. So this week's parsha Ponim Yofes quotes the same Medrash, and he says, so why was Avraham Avinu an exception? And the Ponim Yofes offers two different interpretations. Why was Avraham Avinu an exception? So Ponim Yofes says, because Terach was an Ovid Avodah Zorah, and there is no mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em Elo Ba'oseh Ma'aseh Amcho. It is only if your father is a righteous Jew and he's mekayim the mitzvahs. But if a person is a Rosha, then there is no mitzvah of Kibud Av. So the Ponim Yofes writes that Terach was obviously an Ovid Avodah Zorah, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, the mitzvah of Yishev HaSesor overrides Kibud Av because you don't really have the mitzvah of Kibud Av. Sefer HaMakli Kedushin Lamed Aleph. What do we find in Kedushin Lamed Aleph? Rav Asi tells the Byochanan, he was a Talmud of Rav Byochanan, that my mother is making Aliyah. Could I leave Eretz Yisrael to be Mechamed my mother? And Rav Yochanan first didn't want to answer, and then he says, Hamukim Yachzirech B'Sholem. Hamukim Yachzirech B'Sholem. And Machlan says, obviously, this proves that one is entitled to leave Eretz Yisrael for Kibud Av V'Em. And he, Sefer HaMakli, Kiddush Lamed Aleph, he also quotes this very same Medrash in this week's Parsha, in Parsha Lech Lecha. And his approach in Sefer HaMakli is different than in Ponim Yofes. And he writes, so why is Avraham Avinu an exception? Because Avraham Avinu was the first Jew. So obviously, he had a din of a ger. And ger shen is gaya kekot nishan oiladon. And therefore, me'ikar adin, a ger doesn't have a chiyuv of kibud av v'em, definitely not meratoyr, it's only medrabonon that again needs to respect his father. So the Ponim Yofes has two different suggestions, one in Ponim Yofes and the other in Sefer HaMakna. Why Avraham Avinu was an exception? The Chayodim doesn't seem to be troubled at all. Why was the Kodesh Baruch Hu an exception? Why was Avraham Avinu an exception? Because that's where Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted it. That is one of the Soran HaSyonis. Whatever Avraham Avinu did and whatever happened to Avraham Avinu had repercussions, has significance, L'dayra Yisraelim. So obviously, the Chayodim wasn't troubled, wasn't bothered. Why is Avraham Avinu an exception? Because that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. But both the Ponim Yofes and the Chochmas Odom derive a halacha from this medrash, that Kibud Av V'Em overrides Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And it's a gevaldik chiddush. It is a chiddush l'kishatzmoy. Because the basic rule, as we all know, Yevam is Davov is the source. Rambam Hilchas Mamrim, Perik Vavaruch Yud Bey, Zan Sif and Shochan Och, and Hilchas Kibud Av V'Em, Reish Mem, Sif Tez Vav, Im Omer Yovav Chararis HaShabbos, even if his father imposes on him and demands that he's Zoyven Avet Isad Rabbonin Lo Yishmaloi, as the Gemara explains in Yevam Is Davov, Ato Vavicho Chayovim Bekvoid Amokim. So Kibud Av V'Em doesn't push away, it doesn't override any mitzvah. Neither a mitzvah d'oraisa, nor even a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So why would Yishuv Eretz Yisrael be an exception? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is one of the most important mitzvahs. Hadar b'chutz la'aretz lo yomer kilu, mi she'ein lo eloka, b'yetzer sod emek, mi she'yesh lo eloka. We could stand here an hour and just quote Ma'amar Chazal b'shivcho shel Eretz Yisrael. And it's not only shivcho shel Eretz Yisrael. The only mitzvah in which Chazal were matir amirel anochri b'malocha d'oraisa, Kemavur be Gitin Davches is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Koisvanon of Oinoi Afilu B'Shabbos. So why would Kibud Av V'Em override Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So this psak is a chidush l'kishatzmoy, and the Chayodim brings the Tashbis, and he wonders how could the Tashbis say that. So he brings the Medrash as a source of the Tashbis, but the source is also a very questionable source. It was Lifnei Matan Torah. Not only was it Lefnei Matan Torah, it probably was before Eretz Yisrael was sanctified, because it is only by Bris Ben Amzorim, which is at a later stage, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Kum Hisalach Ba'oretz La'orko U'Lerochbo. So how could we prove a halacha from a medrash that was Lefnei Matan Torah? And Avraham Avinu didn't even know where he's going. Lech lecho el oretz asher ar'eko. And is this clear that this had a kesher at all with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? I mean, it was lefnei Matan Torah. So it is always problematic when we want to prove halacha from a medrash. That in itself is problematic. I think I mentioned a few times. There's a Yerushalmi ein lemeiden halacha min huagoda. This is a very fundamental principle. It doesn't appear anywhere in Bavli, but it is in Yerushalmi, a few different sources. And then there's a machloikis between the Shulz Yaakov and the Noida Behuda, whether this klal, ein lemeiden halacha mepi agoda, is only when halachic sources contradict the agoda, or even if there is no contradiction, it doesn't go against halacha. Ein lemeiden halacha mepi agoda, period. We can't learn from a gadata. So any time you want to learn from a gadata, it's problematic, especially from something that happened lifnei Matan Torah. How could we prove a halacha from something that was before Matan Torah? However, Tshuvas HaTashbetz, and as a source for the Tashbetz, the Chochmas Odom quotes this medrash. To the best of my recollection, the Purim Yofes, in both sources I quoted, Kiddushin Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, and in this week's Parsha, to the best of my memory, he does not quote the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz was a major poisik. But from the lengthy discussion he develops in Purim Yofes, it seems that he saw this as halacha psuke and not only as a milta de agadita, especially if it's also discussed in the Amakna. And the Amakna is not a sefer al Torah, but rather a sefer on a masechta. But however we deal with this question, it's a gevaldige chiddush that Kibbut Av Em overrides Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So this question could be presented in two different ways. If a person lives in Chutz Laaretz and he wants to do Aliyah, he wants to go to Tzon, and his father asks him to stay, that is one scenario. The other scenario is he lives in Eretz Yisrael and his father asks him, I want you to move and come live next to me. And those are two different scenarios. So the Tashbetz deals with a more extreme scenario. A person living in Eretz Yisrael and his father is in Chutz Laaretz and his father calls him and he says, I need you here, I want you to come. And the Tashbetz says, he is allowed to go and live with his father. And that is what the Chayodom wants to prove from this medish, even though it might be different. Because Tashbetz is dealing with the question that a father asks his child to leave Eretz Yisrael. The medish deals with a different situation in which the child lives in Chutz Laaretz and he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. There might be a difference. In the continuation of today's shiur, I will point out an interesting phenomenon. Chazal are very machmir, otzer letzeis mi'etz yisrael chutz laaretz, but nowhere do we find in Chazal that we have a chiv to move from chutz laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, there might definitely be a difference between a person that is living in Eretz Yisrael and his father asks him to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laaretz, or a person that is in Chutz Laaretz, he wants to do Aliyah against his father as well. So these are very, very relevant questions, and I've been asked halacha lemaisa many, many times in both different scenarios. People that want to do Aliyah, but they have an elderly father or mother living in Chutz Laaretz, and the father and mother say, it'll be very hard for us, you know, if you move away. We need you here. We want to see the grandchildren. And I've been also asked in many occasions when children live in Eretz Yisrael and the parents want them to move back to Chutz Laaretz. And this is especially common with young couples because many, many young couples, chutznikim, come to live in Eretz Yisrael for a few years after the chasen. And some of them would like to stay here. And then the father says, no, I agree that you will go to Eretz Yisrael just for 2 or 3 years, but I want you back home. So if the father is the one supporting his children, the child has no means of imposing on his parents to support him in Eretz Yisrael. So in that case, if his father cuts him short, then that is another heter to leave Eretz Yisrael, because for panos you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laaretz. But we're dealing with a situation in which the father says, I'll support you wherever you are, but I want you to come back to Chutz Laaretz So what would the halacha be? One comment before we move on to discuss the opposing opinions. I just want to point out that the Tashbitz, dealing with a person living in his soul, and his father asks him to come to Chutz Lars, doesn't paskin that he's mechuyev to listen to his father. He paskins that it's mutar. Mutar levatel yishev etz soul for kibud avim, but he falls short of paskining that he's mechuyev to give etz soul to move to Chutz Lars. But even that is a gevaldig chinish. Why would kibud avim override a mitzvah? And why is yishev etz soul different than any other mitzvah? Shem omalei avav. To violate any mitzvah, bein b'kum asei, bein b'shev al ta'asa, lo yishma lo, even if it's a mitzvah derabonon. So, I discuss the opinions that say that kibud avim overrides yishuv eretz yisrael. So, amongst the great poskim and rishonim, all we have is the Tashbitz. Well, the Chacham HaSodom brings the Tashbitz, and he wants to prove his point from the Medrash. But I don't know whether that is the definitive psak of the Chacham HaSodom. He brings Yesh Oimrim. Purim Yofes, it's not a tshuva, it's not a psak, but it does seem to be, from the fashion of his discussion, seems to be that that is his halachic opinion. But many sources clearly state that a father has no right to impose on his children neither to leave Eretz Yisrael nor to refrain from moving to Eretz Yisrael. And if a son wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, his father has no right to object, and he's entitled to do so against the wish of his father. The very earliest source is Tshuvas Maharam Rutenberg, and there's also Tshuvas HaMabit, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Lamed Tes. And the Mabit deals with the question, a person wants to move to Eretz Yisrael. Actually, the practical question the Mabe deals with is a person made a neder to move to Eretz Yisrael, and his father opposes his wish to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the Mabe says he should not listen to his father and he should move to Eretz Yisrael, not only because he made the neder, also because the neder, but if it's only about the neder, then you could be shoyal on a neder. You could go to a chacham and annul the neder. But the Mabit says, mitzvahs yishev etz yisrael overrides kibud avim like any other mitzvah would override kibud avim, and yishev etz yisrael definitely would be no exception. Me'il tzedakah, fast forward 100 years after the Mabit, and the Me'il tzedakah is quoted in Pischei Tshuva, Evan Oezer, Simen Ayin Hei, Siv Kotn Vav, Me'il tzedakah, quotes the Mabit and strongly agrees with the Mabit and Tshuvas Beis Yehuda, Mahari Ayash, all these poskim, starting off with Maram Rotenberg, Tshuvas HaMabit, Me'il Tzedakah, Beis Yehuda. They all have the same opinion that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael overrides kibud av. And they're dealing with a situation in which the son wants to move from Chutz Lars to Eretz Yisrael, and as a father opposes, and they say he should make that move. So this is a very extreme machlokes. On one hand, the Tashbitz says a father has the right to ask his child to move out of Eretz Yisrael, come to Chutz Lars. And the Mabit says that the child has the right to leave Chutz Lars to move to Eretz Yisrael against his father's wish. Lecha oira, that should be a halacha pshuta, as I quoted the Gemara, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, Milsa, the Pshita, that any mitzvah overrides kibud avim. And the logic of this halacha is, like the Gemara says, ato v'ovicho chayovim b'kvoidimcho. So kibud avim is one of the greatest mitzvahs. Ad she'omru chazal, hukash kvoidam l'kvoid ha'mokoyim. But nevertheless, when kibud avim goes any other mitzvah, any other mitzvah overrides kibud avim. I need to make an interesting point. When we say any mitzvah overrides kibud avim, that means when the father demands that a son violates a mitzvah, he has no authority to do that, even though the father has no bad intentions. It's not that the father wants to wants to impose on his child to be an avarian. The father might have the best of intentions, but the father has no authority to ask his child to be mevatel a mitzvah. But on the other hand, kibud av ve'em would override many mitzvahs. For instance, Talmud Torah. So a father cannot dictate to his children not to go to yeshiva, or even which yeshiva to go to. But if a father asks his son, make me a coffee, or run an errand, and the son is in the middle of learning, he needs to close the Gemara and do what his father asks him to do. Because it's like any other mitzvah sheyef shalosoy sara de'echerim shodoyche talmud Torah. And if a child is busy with kibud av ve'em, he would be potter of other mitzvahs because I see mitzvah potter in a mitzvah. However, a father has no right to impose on his child to mevatel a mitzvah. And there is no difference whether his father has sinister intentions, evil intentions, and he doesn't want his child to be from, goes without saying, even though his father means no bad. But he just asks him to do something which is an aveira, and so kibud av ve'em is not relevant if it goes against other mitzvahs. So why would Yishuv Eretz Yisrael be an exception? And this necessitates to analyze the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and this huge question, which I don't remember whether we discussed this in the past, Vaslo Kedish Adain. I don't remember. At this stage of my life, I give so many shulim, I can no longer remember what I say, where, and when. So I wouldn't remember what sugis we discussed here. Baruch Hashem, we discussed many, many sugis throughout the recent years. So I don't remember whether we elaborated on the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but it's a machlokes de Ramban and de Rambam, whether mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is on the list of Taryag mitzvahs. And Shichachas Harav, the Ramban has a list at the end of Mitzvah Saseh and another list at the end of Mitzvah Lo Taaseh, Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam, in which the Rambam argues various mitzvahs that the Rambam skipped unjustified. And the Ramban says, I don't know why the Rambam didn't include these mitzvahs in his list of Taryag. Mitzvah Dalet, Shichachas Harav, Mitzvah Saseh, the Rambam writes Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he writes, I don't know why the Rambam didn't include the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in the list of Taryag. V'yirishtem oiso, v'yishavtem bo. And the Ramban l'shitosoi, perush Ramban ala Torah, parshas Masai. The Ramban once again says, mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and it should be on the list, and I don't know why the Rambam did not include mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in the Taryag mitzvahs. But the Rambam does not write mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So my question is, according to the Ramban, and even according to the Rambam, but definitely according to the Ramban, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So how would we explain the multitudes, the hundreds of thousands, the millions of Jews, many of them God-fearing Jews throughout the ages, that didn't do Aliyah, they didn't come to Eretz Yisrael? So there definitely were times in which it was a sakana, and that is what Tosfos says at the end of Masechet Ksuvos. Tosfos deals with this question. So there were times in which the journey was a dangerous journey, was a sakana, and throughout many generations, it was very difficult to have a parnosa in Eretz Yisrael. So if you're entitled to leave Eretz Yisrael and to move to Chutz Laaretz for parnosa, you definitely don't need to diminish the parnosa you already have in Chutz Laaretz and move to Eretz Yisrael if you won't have parnosa in Eretz Yisrael. So throughout the ages, I don't think it's a teima gedoyla. But in the past 100 years or so, this question is far more powerful and far more relevant. Well, Jews have parnosa b'kovet in Eretz Yisrael, not everybody, but not everybody kilo yechtel evyo mekerav haoretz. Not everybody in America is rich, and not everybody anywhere is rich. And Baruch Hashem, we're doing relatively fine in Eretz Yisrael, so what is the justification on the heter for so many good Jews living in Chutz Laaretz and not living in Eretz Yisrael? So many times some people ask about Gedol Yisrael. Well, I think a Gedol Yisrael living in Chutz Laaretz and fulfilling his duty in Chutz Laaretz and teaching Torah to thousands of Jews. So one of the heterim to leave Eretz Yisrael is L'ilmoy Torah. L'ilmoy Torah definitely is as important and more important than l'ilmoy Torah. So I don't want to go into little details, but so many good Jews living in Chatzos, and it's a big shaila. Why don't they move towards the soul? So according to the Rabban, we're dealing with the mitzvah to say d'oraisa. What about the Shittas HaRambam? And I have a unique approach to the Shittas HaRambam, which I think is Toyos Emes. The problem is so many things I say which I think are Toyos Emes. I might be right. Maybe not always. But what I say right now, I'm convinced it's Toyos Emes. So everybody grapples with the Rambam. Some Gedolim say, and this goes back hundreds of years, that according to the Rambam, Yishev HaSol is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. I don't think so. If mitzvah HaSol would be a mitzvah d'rabbanan, how could it be chomer mekol mitzvah saseh d'oraisa? How could it be that the only mitzvah which overrides amira l'nochri by malochet d'oraisa is Yishev HaSol? It's impossible that a mitzvah d'rabbanan would come before many mitzvahs d'oraisa, which are d'oraisa. So the Ramban says the source of mitzvahs d'oraisa is the posuk in Parshas Masai, v'yerishta moiso, v'yeshavtem bo. According to the Ramban, this posuk is explicitly to Yehoshua ben Nun, and it deals with kibush eretz Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. So what would the mitzvah of Yishev HaSol be l'doiras? My argument is this, and I know it's a gewaldige chiddush when you first hear it, but you need to let it sink in and see the simplicity and the pashtus and the emes. Some of the most fundamental mitzvahs are not in the list of Taryag. And they might be more important and more central and more fundamental than in many mitzvahs that are in the list of Taryag. Taryag is not everything. And Taryag maybe misses some of the most important mitzvahs. So in my opinion, Yishev HaSol, according to the Rambam, is definitely in Minat Torah, but it's not defined as a mitzvah because we do not find a tzivui. The tzivui, v'yirishtamayisav yeshavtamba, is for Yehoshua ben Nun. And it refers to one period in history, and that is the period of Kibush Eretz Yisrael al yidei Yehoshua ben Nun. So how do we know the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael? From Bris Bein HaBesorim. Kodesh Baruch Hu promises Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, and he does so again to Yitzchak Avinu, and he does so again to Yaakov Avinu. So isn't that enough to know the will and wish of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So why does he promise this land to all three of the other Sigdoshim as a real estate investment, to rent it out to the Arabs? What did a Kodesh Baruch Hu mean when he promised this land to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, and once again to Moshe Rabbeinu? That is Ratzon Hashem. And Ratzon Hashem is a mitzvah. So why isn't it in the list of Taryag? For a very simple reason. It's not a tzivui. And Taryag mitzvahs means Taryag tzivuyim. And a tzivui is a command. Eretz Yisrael is a promise. It's not a command. But is there any greater manifestation? Is there any greater expression of Ratzon Hashem than HaKadosh Baruch Hu promising Avraham Avinu, Lezaracho etein es ha'oretz hazois? Is there any greater manifestation of Ratzon Hashem? So of course Yishev Eretz Yisrael is min ha'Torah according to the Rambam. It's not on the list because it's not a tzivui. Now, just to strengthen the argument, on the other hand, mitzvahs say hey, in the list of the Rambam is tefillah. The Ramban strikes it out. And the Ramban says no. The Ramban is a mitzvah klolis. A mitzvah klolis which touches the entire spectrum of Reish Memches mitzvahs asay. Your avoidance Hashem should be belev sholem. And the mitzvahs aklolios are not part of the Taryan. So on the list of the Ramban, we don't find tefillah. And I ask, So is tefillah, according to the Ramban, not so important? Could you be a good Jew without ever talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that reasonable, according to the Ramban? So according to the Ramban, tefillah is the Rabbanon. What does that mean, tefillah is the Rabbanon? In the Ramban's philosophy, in the Ramban's understanding of Avodah Sukeil, tefillah is not important. Does that mean you could be a good Jew and davek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you never davened? You never spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You never turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, Kriya Shema Shachas Varavis is min haTorah. So is that enough? So according to the Ramban, you could be a good Jew without asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his help, for his guidance, without asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his mercy. Is that reasonable? I say, of course not. Tefillah is as important to the Ramban as it is to the Rambam. But according to the Rambam, there's a tzivui. According to the Ramban, there's not a tzivui. So how do we know that tefillah is important? Exactly the same I said according to the Rambam. Because Avraham davened, Yitzchok davened, Yaakov davened. Aren't we supposed to emulate our avos? Aren't those our role models and we need to do what they did? They all davened. Avraham tekan shachas, Yitzchok tekan mincha, Yaakov tekan arvos. Isn't that enough reason to understand that we need to daven? So tefillah is definitely one of the fundamentals in Yiddishkeit. It's hard to imagine dveikus without tefillah. I think tefillah is the sea. It is the climax. It's the most intimate form of dveikus. When you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you plead with him. So to me, it's a milsa de pshita. You can't be a good Jew according to the Ramban without davening. It's not on the list because it's not a tzivui. So how do we know it's something you got to do? Because it's what Avraham did and Yaakov did and Yitzchok did and Moshe did. All the good Jews, all the great Jews daven. Even other Marashim daven. And Noach did so. So, you know, the importance of davening we learn from Masa Bereshis. Odom ein lavoy desu adomo. Rashi brings from Chazal. Grass didn't start to grow until Odom Rishon came along and davened. There is no bracha in the world without tefillah. So, davening is one of the fundamentals. So is Yeshiv Eretz Yisrael. Tefillah is not on the list of the Ramban. And Yeshiv Eretz Yisrael is not on the list of the Rambam. So this proves that some of the most fundamental concepts and most important Yesodis and Avodas Hashem are not necessarily in the list of Taryag Mitzvahs. Yes?
Would there still be the Nafka Minah of Kfiya?
There would be many Nafka Minahs. For instance, Eser Doichaloi Seser refers only to a Mitzvah Sasei and not to fundamental Chiyuvim that are not defined as a Mitzvah Sasei. There would be many Nafka Minahs. But all I mean to say is the fact that a Mitzvah isn't in the list of Taryag doesn't mean it's not important. Doesn't mean it is of lesser importance. It doesn't mean that it's not min haTorah. So the way I understand it, Yeshiv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah according to the Rambam as well, even though it is not on the list of Taryag. Yes?
But then it would be something very personal. Someone says, well, I think Ratzon Hashem is I should stay in America because the chinuch of the girls might be more appropriate for my daughter. It could be very, very... The Ratzon Hashem is very... What do I think Rish Baruch wants me to do? Well, Eretz Yisrael is one thing. Maybe there's some other considerations.
I made it very clear on many occasions, and I think it should be clear from what I said today as well. When I say Ratzon Hashem, it is not what we guess or imagine is Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem that is reflected in Taras Hashem. It's not Ratzon Hashem, your own personal subjecting feeling of Ratzon Hashem. When we say Yeshiv Eretz Yisrael is Ratzon Hashem, that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Eretz Yisrael to Avraham, to Yitzchok, and to Yaakov. But you do have a point. Because that is one of the differences between a specific mitzvah, which is in the list, and it is defined as a mitzvah to say, and other mitzvahs which are Rotzon Hashem? Yes. And what you said is true. But it is very subjective and very sensitive. Yes, exactly. And I think I love Eretz Yisrael more than many of my friends. Because in the yeshivas, it's not really part of the chinuch to love Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael we teach our children to love in the yeshivish system is some metaphoric, abstract Eretz Yisrael in the heavens, and Eretz Yisrael in the books. But when we learn the end of Masechet Ksuvos, Gedolei Amorim loved Eretz Yisrael in a very tangible way. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, they kneeled down and they kissed the rocks. One of the Amorim hoyu mespalish ba'afora shel Eretz Yisrael. Lahavdil elef alfei avdolos. Did you ever see an elephant basking in the mud? Yeah? Some animals love mud. One of the great Amorim in Eretz Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, hoyu mespalish ba'afora shel Eretz Yisrael. He lay down in the mud and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael and just soaked it in. So the love of Eretz Yisrael, of Gedolei Amorim, was very tangible. They loved the earth, they loved the trees, they loved Eretz Yisrael in a very tangible way, which is not really part of the chinuch of our system. So my family did Aliyah. We came to Eretz Yisrael 3 days before my bar mitzvah. I was Oyla L'Toyla in America, and the bar mitzvah was in Eretz Yisrael. Why am I saying this? I don't remember why I started saying it. So I think I love Israel in a very real, Eretz Yisrael in a very real way. Yes, but to my dismay, I convinced many young couples to move back from Eretz Yisrael to America. Quite a few of them. Young couples that came from America to Eretz Yisrael and had great struggles with the chinuch of their children. Not everybody fits into the system in Eretz Yisrael. And yes, the chinuch of your children comes before Yeshuv Eretz Yisrael. So there are some things that are even more important than Yeshuv Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that soul to Avraham Avinu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also says, Ki udatev namana sheyetzav ezbona vebeiso yachrov v'shamru derech Hashem la'asei tzedakah v'mishpat. And the obligation of every Jew and every Jewish parent to be mechanech his children la'av estoyre v'yoshamayim comes before Yeshuv Eretz Yisrael. So if you can have them both, ma toiv u'ma noim. But some young families had big nesyonos with the chinuch of their children moving from America to Eretz Yisrael. And quite a few couples that I counseled moved back to your communities in America. And you could give, in your lifestyle, you have a better chance of being mechanic your children, the Torah v'Yerushalayim there. So the comment you made is a true comment. But it is not because everybody has his own entitlement of understanding Rotzon Hashem. When I speak about the Rotzon Hashem, it's the Rotzon Hashem which is manifested in Torah Hashem, in the Psukim. Many times Rotzon Hashem is reflected without a tzivui. And that's the point I meant to make. Tariag mitzvahs are tzivuyim mifuroshim. But there are fundamentals in Yiddishkeit which aren't in the list. But that doesn't mean they are of lesser importance. But there is a difference between a mitzvah saseh. A mitzvah saseh you need to perform ve'en chokhmah ve'en tvunah ve'en etzah neged Hashem. But when we're dealing with a general mitzvah, you need to take into account other factors as well. So, according to the Ramban, we're dealing with a mitzvah saseh mamish, which is included in the list of Tariyah, according to the Ramban. So many achronim maintain, according to the Rambam, it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa, only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. To me, it's clear it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. But it is a mitzvah which is more defined as Rotzon Hashem, and therefore is not in the list of Taryag. But nevertheless, coming back to the question, so how do we understand many great people living in Chutz Lartz? So what I said in the last 5 minutes is a good explanation according to the Rambam. Because we're not dealing with a mitzvah to say mamish, then yes. It is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not a chiyuv, and you need to take many factors into account. And it is a gewaldige ha'ora. Chazal, in many sources, say, also letzeis me'etz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. Never do we find a chiyuv la'alois me'chutz la'aretz l'etz Yisrael. We do not find that. It's nowhere in the Rambam, nowhere in Chazal. Chazal many times speak about the virtue and the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, about the cheshivas of Eretz Yisrael in a very general way. Nowhere do we find that it's a chiyuv. The closest we get is at the end of Ksuvis, when there's a dispute between husband and wife. One of them wants to go to Eretz Yisrael and the other doesn't. So the one that wants to go has the upper hand. And if the wife doesn't want to go, teitzei shaloi b'ksuva. If the husband doesn't want to do aliyah, yoitzi v'yitein ksuva. But that is more the halachas of the rights of husband and wife, who has the upper hand. Nowhere do we find, either in Gemara or in Rambam, an iser to live in chutz la'aretz. The Rambam writes, it's also ladur b'yeretz Mitzrayim. We could learn from the Rambam, any other country in the world, mutar lagur. How is it mutar? If there's a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael, why does the Rambam write also lo gur b'yeretz Mitzrayim, also lo gur b'shum makom ba'olam, besides Eretz Yisrael? No. So according to the Ramban, how do we understand this? So according to the Ramban, I think we have a reasonable explanation. It's not a chiyuv. It's the right thing. Because this is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants many other things as well. The chinuch of your children, the parnosa, harbotzes toire in chutz la'aretz, according to the Ramban. I do not recall whether we ever discussed this great sugya here, ba'asro kadishu adayim, but chalamoid, I gave many shiurim chalamoid, and one of the topics I discussed is, how much money does one need to spend to be Mekayim and Mitzvah Saseh? So the Ramon Tov Reish Nun Vav writes, Einu Adam Chayev Lebaz V'Zhoin Rav Al HaMitzvahs. And I have a disagreement with many Achroinim. Many Achroinim say, Choymish. And I say, Choymish is a din in Tzedakah. Choyin Rav is a relative concept. And B'Derech Moshel, I tell a story. Erev Sukkos in the afternoon, person is oiged his lulav. He ties his lulav. And in the machzorim, there's a special filly, you say, when you tie the lulav with the hadassim and arovis. And suddenly he is shocked to see that one of his arovis is niktam roisho, it's a posel arova. Jumps into his car, rushes to the shuk, and the last young boy, mekapel ziyud, he rushes and he says, do you still have an arava? And that kid looks around and he realizes the business opportunity of a lifetime. He's the last guy around. He says, yes, I have an arava, 3,000 shekel. He says, oh, you're crazy. 2 hours ago, I brought two aravas for 5 shekel. That was the price 2 hours ago. Price went up. Look around. So does he have to pay 3,000 shekel for that arava? I say no. Ein odom chayev lebas v'zoyin la'av l'mitzvahs. But then the guy asks the rav, I don't get it. A week ago, I told you I don't have a sukkah. I need to buy a sukkah. And I asked the rav, 3,000 shekel for a sukkah, do I need to pay that money? The rav said yes. So why do you tell me now that I don't have to pay 3,000 shekel for an arava? The answer is very simple. 3,000 shekel for a sukkah is a reasonable price. 3,000 shekel for an arava is not a reasonable price. So when the Ramon writes, Eino dem chayim lebas b'shoin rav al mitzvah, shoin rav is a relative concept. Shoin rav is not 10% or 20% or 30%. It's not a percentage. Shoin rav is an unreasonable price. So every mitzvah has a logical price, how much it should cost. And you need to spend as much money as the mitzvah course. It has nothing to do with Maisa or Chaimish. I mean, so many Achronim say, just like Tzedokah, Chaimish. And I just don't get it. I don't understand these Achronim. Because the din of Achaimish by Tzedokah or Maisa of Tzedokah is for a year. You set aside 10% of your earnings, of your profits, or 20% of your profits, and that's for an entire year. When that money is gone, then you're poto. Hayar al adas, that a person sets away 10% of his earnings for mitzvahs. He bought a beautiful eslik, and he has 10 kids. He need to buy. So when Pesach comes, he already exhausted his 10%. So no matzah, no mora, no dalet kaisis. And his son has bar mitzvah iyar. He tells the son, I'm sorry, but I spent my maisa money. I know you have bar mitzvah, but you're going to have to wait till Tishrei, new year, new maisa. So you're not going to have any tefillin. That's totally ridiculous. So tzedakah has nothing to do with mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, you need to spend as much as it costs. It might be 10%, 20%, 50%, 60%. Hayala das, 90% is for Chaisho and 10% for Chayolim. 90% for you and 10% for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 20% for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's totally outrageous. You need to spend for mitzvahs as much as mitzvahs cost, but only for a reasonable price. Because we cannot enable people to take advantage of chivis ha-mitzvah, of chavivis ha-mitzvah, lasher kesabrius. So when the Ramon says, and that is Toysus and the Rosh, if it would be 10%, they would say 10%. If it would be Chaimish, they would say Chaimish. And they do not say that. Choin Rav is a relative concept. But nevertheless, there is a limit to how much a person needs to spend on a mitzvah. And in Minchas Osho Parshas V'yetze, there's a very lengthy discussion. How much tircha? How much pain? It's easy to define money, but how does one define suffering, pain, torach, tirch? So, to what extent do you need to go to be makayim mitzvah? And how much pain do you need to endure to be makayim mitzvah? Person that has celiac. And eating matzah would cause him illness or extreme pain, stomach cramps, and is he chayev b'matzah? How much pain does one need to suffer and endure to be mekayim a mitzvah? How much tercha does one need to be terech? So I'm in a faraway town and I forgot my tefillin at home. And there's a person living at the other side of town and he has tefillin. And it's a horrible weather. It's a snowstorm, no cars available. Do I have to trudge in the snow for 3 hours to put on tefillin? These are real questions. So, there must be some key or some comparison between torah, pain, and expense, and money. And if we say, you don't need to spend an unreasonable amount of money to perform a mitzvah, it would go without saying you don't need to exert an unreasonable effort to be makayim a mitzvah. So if you're going to need to trudge 5 hours in the snow, probably you're potter from tefillin. If eating matzah will cause you horrible pain, then you're probably potter from matzah. And maybe this will explain why so many good Jews didn't make the effort to come from Chutz Lo'etz to Eretz Yisrael, to uproot a family and a parnasa and your social structure and the chinuch of your children and making this major move, and you're not sure it's going to work out for your family, it's not sure it's going to work out for your kids, for your wife. Kuli hai, maybe it's not a chiyuv. Mitzvah, yes, but not a chiyuv. And that would explain why many good Jews still live in Chutz Lo'etz. So coming back to our discussion regarding Kibud Av, my Psak Halacha LaMaaseh is this. If a person wants to come to Eretz Yisrael and his father doesn't like the idea, doesn't need to listen to his father. It's his privilege, it's his mitzvah, it's his right. And his father has no right to prevent him from being mekayim the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. But if it's not only an inyan of his father's wish, you know, his father enjoys the einik lach, he is happy to have his children around, in that case, he should come to Eretz Yisrael and be mekayim the mitzvah. But if he has an elderly parent and he really needs his support physically or emotionally, and his moving away might cause his father's health to deteriorate, then in that case, he should stay with his parents if they really need him as an existential need. Then in that case, probably the Tashbates and the Chayodim would have the upper hand, and in that case, he shouldn't leave his father. If he's living in Eretz Yisrael, and his parents are in advanced old age, and they ask him to come because we really need some of our children to be here, if it would touch pikuach nefesh, I would say he needs to move periodically, temporarily, to be with his parents. But as long as we cannot define that as a suffix pikuach nefesh, I don't think he would be mechuyev. Do whatever you could do to have support for your family, to have support for your elderly parents. But I doubt there would be a chiyuv to uproot his family and as a sort of move to Chutz La'aretz to support his parents. So we briefly discussed the sugya, which has one of its fundamental sources in this week's Parsha and the Medrash in the beginning of Parsha's Lech Lecha. So as I said at the beginning of today's shiur, I slightly apologize. I have a family simcha in Bnei Brak, so I will need to be leaving in a few minutes. But so this week is Parshas Lech Lecha, and Chazal say, Perekei Masechet Avos, Asora Nesyonos, Nesnasa Avraham Avinu Va'omad Bekulam. Why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu be Menasa people? Kodesh Baruch Hu knows whether they could stand in a soyin or not. There are two reasons why a Kodesh Baruch Hu would put people into a soyin. If they are righteous, if they are tzaddikim, and they will rise to the challenge, and they will be rewarded. Or, lekadishem shumayim, like Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, that were thrown into the kivshin aweish, and brought about a tremendous kiddush Hashem. But I spoke many times about the asor nesyonos of Avraham Avinu, and those asor nesyonos covered the entire spectrum of the human experience. Each and every trait in the human personality was put to test. And the very first nesayin was Lech lecho ma'aretzecho, memoladetecho, umebeis avicho. By human nature, a person feels connected and attached, first of all, to his family. That is the closest connection to his social circle and to his country. There is something in human nature, definitely according to the Maharal, that nationality speaks to people. Millions of people went to their death and killed others for national pride. So we are connected to our country, to our society, and most of all to our families. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from Avraham Avinu, leave it all behind. Lech lecho ma'aretzecho, memoladetecho. So in modern Hebrew, moledet is a homeland, but in our early sources, moledet is your social circle, the people you were born amongst. Umebeis avicho, leave it all behind and go. And he doesn't even know where he's going. Pack up and leave. And that's a great Nesoyin. That was Nesoyin number one. And the last and greatest Nesoyin is Akedas Yitzchak. Ur Kazdim is sacrificing his own life. Akedas Yitzchak is taking his son's life. And all the others in between, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Avraham Avinu to test in every possible way, and to test the very fabric of his spirit and soul in every part of human experience. And Avraham Avinu omed b'kulam. And when Avraham Avinu passes those nisyonos, he gives us, Klal Yisrael, throughout the ages, the koiches of Mesilas Nefesh. So in Gittin Daf Nun Zayin, Chazal tell the story of a Jewish mother of seven children. And each of his seven children was put to test and demanded l'shtach avos l'avod esoved. And every one of those seven children quoted a posuk of Mesilas Nefesh and Yichud Shem Shemayim. And they were killed, murdered, one after the other. And when her youngest child, and according to the Medrash, she was a three-year-old child, and before he is called to bow down to the Avodah Zorah, his mother asks to hug him and kiss him. And so she does. And she tells him, Lech v'omarto la'avraham avinu, ata akadata akedo achas, v'ani akadati shiva mizbchois. And when I learned this sugya on Tisha B'Av with my kehillah and Kamtzu Bar Kamtzu, I asked, what did she mean to say? Did she mean to say to Avraham Avinu, don't think you're so great, I'm far greater than you are? You did it once, I did it seven times. Is that appropriate? Ein odem nitpas al tzaroi. But if what she said is not appropriate, why would Chazal relate that message? If this is something which is lo ra'ui, why do we need to know this? Obviously, if Chazal tell us the story, it's a positive story. So my understanding is that heartbroken woman tells her youngest child before he is killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, look for Avraham Avinu up there, and they're going to let you win. They're going to let you win, because anybody that's Moisa Nafsha Al Kiddush Hashem has open doors. Look for Avraham Avinu and tell him thank you. Atu akadatu mesbeachacha. You gave me the strength to be oiked shiva mizbechois. So that one mizbech of Avraham Avinu gave thousands upon thousands of Jews the strength and the koiches of Mesilas Nefesh in every possible nesoyin. Those were the asura nesoyinus of Avraham Avinu. And the purpose of those nesoyinus were not for him, but for us. And every time Avraham Avinu passes the tests, he gives the koiches for all future daughters of Jews, the koiches of Mesilas Nefesh. Ve'ohavto es Hashem Elokecho, the Baal HaTorim writes, ve'ohavto is the same letters as ho'ovois. So this posuk, ve'ohavto es Hashem Elokecho, Chazal teach us, v'chol avavcho, v'chol nafshecho, v'chol moidecho, v'chol nafshecho, afilu noitles nafshecho. It is from this posuk that we learn that we need to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and give away our lives on Kiddush Shmo Yagodol. So the Baal HaTorim writes, Ve'ohavto oisiyas ha'ovois. It is from the Ovos HaKedoshim that we have this koyach of Mesilas Nefesh. And the Medrash says, Ve'chananya Meshul Ve'azaria, Bisho Shemosru Nafshem al Kedushas Hashem, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lamalachi HaShoris, Lechu ונשקו ספסויסיהם של אבויסיהם של אלה שמוסרו נפשם על קדושת השם. אבויסיהם של אלה שמוסרו נפשם על קדושת השם. Whatever we have, whatever koiches of Mesilas Nefesh we have, it is only from the Ovis. And from those asura nesyonos shenisnasa Avraham Avinu. I once heard an amazing story about Mesilas Nefesh in communist Russia. And I heard this from a person that heard it personally from the Moyel. So there were Mesilas Nefesh in communist Russia that used to go from town to town, from city to city, from hamlet to hamlet. And by Mesilas Nefesh, there were Machnes Yaldi Yisrael Lebrisim Shel Avraham Avinu. It was a grave crime in those days. So there was a Moyel that arrived in a town, and there were a few babies, some of them a few months old, because he made the rounds and he visited a city or a town once in a few months. And he comes into a house, and the baby was about 3 or 4 months old. And he immediately sensed that the mother is very anxious and nervous and agitated and very edgy. And the moment he performed the mitzitza, he barely bandaged the wound, and the mother grabs the child away from him and hysterically starts kissing that baby in a very hysterical fashion. And then she apologized to him. And she said, when my son was born, that was 4 months ago, I wasn't sure that I will stand this nisayon and have a bris milah for him. So I swore that I won't kiss him until he has a bris. And for 4 months, I didn't kiss my baby even once, because that was a shuah. I swore to God that I won't kiss him until he has a bris, because I wanted to be confident that I will stand in this nisayon and I will have a bris for him. So now that he had the bris, I just couldn't take it anymore. And she snatched that baby out of the hands of the male, and she hysterically tried to compensate for 4 months of having a newborn child without kissing him even once. So where did simple people take that Mesiras Nefesh? It is only because of Avraham Avinu stood the Nesoyan, and when he was 100 years old, he did bris milah. And probably there was no anesthesia in those days. Mm-hmm. So these are Sora Nesiones of Avraham Avinu. They gave Klal Yisur throughout the ages all the koiches of Mesiras Nefesh. So that mother, that heartbroken, tragic mother of 7 children that gave their lives for Kiddush Hashem, said, Lech v'omar to Avraham Avinu, atu akadatu mizbeach acha. But your mizbeach gave me the strength, la'koit shiva mizbechois. And not shiva mizbechois, but hundreds and thousands of mizbechois throughout the ages. And that was all in the koyach of Asura Nisrenis, Nisnas Avraham Avinu, v'omad v'kulam. That is the greatness of our Ovis, and that is why Chazal teaches us Chayavudim Loimar, Mosai Ma Yogiu Maasai Le Maasai Avoisa. Beglal Avois, Toshia Bonim, Besovi Geula Levnei Bneim, Mishit Bezoiche, and Schus Avois, for Geula Sisroel, and Bias Mishiach, Zekenu, Vimheiro, 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 Vimheiro,